Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this week's episode of Game Cabinet. This week, we're reaching in and pulling out nothing. Nothing. We're gonna sit here and BS with you guys this week.
It's one of those weeks, man.
It's just one of those weeks.
I'm just coming back from getting surgery, so like...
Yeah, welcome back, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. I've been at home going absolutely insane, trying to get all those episodes edited and failing.
just not having
I it. Severely overestimated how good I was going to feel. Because I was like, I'll take one whole week off. And then like the week after my surgery, like I'm not going to go anywhere, but I can like sit in my chair and like do editing stuff. And man, I sat down at my computer and I was just like, I can't do this. I just want to go lay back down.
This is awful.
This is bad. And so I was just like, that whole week, I would like sit down and like work on editing, but I would only get like a half an hour to an hour in before like my body was just like, we don't want to be sitting in this position
before
anymore.
Lay down.
And I was just like, hey, everyone, no podcast this week. So sorry.
Yeah. But you know what? It's all right. We're back. We're going to BS a little today.
Yeah.
I got two kind of dope little pieces of information since we've met last.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. We're almost solidified. We just solidified my chess piece.
Ooh.
Like, what we're going to do and the, shape of the design.
Yeah.
She still hasn't quite designed the main picture of it.
Okay.
The main thing I'm super stoked about, I just found out that the other person who's going to tattoo my back isn't going to charge me. So I held off all this winter from having them do that.
Oh my God.
Because I didn't know if that was the case or not. Katie finally asked and they were like, no, man, it's a thing that like I'm trying with you. I'm trying with him. Like, we just don't know how well it's going to go to begin with. So no, I'm not worried about it. And as long as he's not trying to do it here in summer or fall, but waits till winter when we're dead. I have nothing this winter so far. So...
That's rad.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so stoked because I was like, hey, it's not, I expect that you are going to charge me. You charged me for my knee. This is fine. I have no problems with that. You even gave me a really nice price on it. Cool. I just need to make sure I can set aside some cash to start working on it this winter. And apparently she happened to say that and he looked at her like, you're dumb. Like just a straight like, what the fuck are you talking about that you need to, he needs to save some cash. I'm not charging him for that shit.
That's so awesome.
That was super dope.
I need to get somebody to help me work on the design for my arm piece.
Dig it a real lady face.
Yeah. I need to see if she's like, I know she does really good line work, but there's a very specific style for the tarot cards that I want.
Ooh, she'd definitely be the one to go to because the mix between her anime style and her line working, that's gonna give you that very tarot-esque card because
well,
she's starting
I don't want them classic tarots. Like I have a very specific image in my head of how I want the line work to look, but I can't, it's not my style.
Yeah,
so it's very hard for me to actually like, I've been trying for like weeks to draw it out and I'm just like, I don't have the skill set for this. Like, I draw pretty elf ladies with really heavy line art. I don't do this kind of style.
That super dainty line work.
Yeah, like my other tattoos have, like, the 0.05 needle that are just, like,
definitely
tiny lines.
Definitely shooting up at her then. Because I was watching her. She actually, we had to order some needles for her, and they had to call it a day because she didn't have the needles for it.
Jeez.
But she's currently doing a Deadpool riding unicorn.
Nice.
That she's going down to a, I think she said that she needed a two liner.
Yeah. I think the ones that my tattoo artist actually used were like a one liner. Just say 0.05 because that's the like width of a pencil line that I would use for it.
Yeah.
Like super fine.
Let me see your arm.
She had to go a lot of these really fine lines, like especially in here. Required two passes with the needle that she was using because it was that fine.
Yeah, that's a two-liner.
She said it was a one. So I saw the package.
That smoke is a one-liner.
Yeah, that's how the lines were when she first did them. She had to go over a lot of these lines like two or three times to get them where they are.
Use a two-liner. It's less No, it's really mean to your skin to go back over them.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, just use a two liner. They're giving you the thickness you were looking for, like, right off the bat.
The thing was, is the one liner looked really good, looks really good in a lot of places. And my tattoo has spread a little bit since I got it.
Yeah.
Because it's feathered.
That's also why I don't particularly love the one liners personally.
Yeah.
Because mine were for ghost lines, like literal lines that are going to go away. And that's what most one liners are for. I'm one of those guys that's like, if you don't need to pass over my skin multiple times, I'm great. Just throw in a thicker needle.
We ended up going back over it a second time because the line work that she did with the needle that she did looked almost exactly like the sketch that I had, but it didn't translate super good to my skin.
Yeah.
Because it was so fine.
Yeah.
And so we ended up having to go back over it a second time.
Especially with a one-liner, that just feels like you're getting cut the whole time. That doesn't even feel like you're getting, like, when I got mine, at least, from my experience.
The lady I went to for mine has a very light hand.
Oh.
So it really did not bother me too much.
She did not at the time.
Yeah.
She's gotten better, but she did not at the time.
Yeah.
Joe has one of the lightest hands I've ever had the privilege of having ink me.
The dude that did the Celtic piece on the back of my neck, he had been tattooing for like 30 years. And I almost didn't feel the tattoo when he did it. It was so nice. Like, it kind of felt like by the end of it, because he did put color into it. So like by the end of it, it did start feeling a little bit like a sunburn.
Mm.
But that was it. Like it didn't hurt. It was just like, oh, that's kind of uncomfortable.
Man, that makes me like, now that I've been getting inked a lot more and by different people and not the same guy since I was 18.
Right.
And I've actually kind of explored my tattooing options. I've noticed one, you have to be really nice to my arm. Like my forearm down where like my rooster is and stuff, like my hand, fine, no problems. But you have to be so nice because he's got a generally light hand. Like I can remember getting my shoulder piece done. I had to have caught him on a bad day for this thing because I just remember it all.
Yeah.
Like it was just a very
and
clear cut. Whereas like my calf, I don't even remember doing my potion bottle at this point, other than that 18 liner. Please don't ever use the 18 liner on me again. Please.
My arm from my elbow down is pretty, doesn't really hurt too bad. But the like 2 inch or inch and a half ribbon between the bottom of my palm up to my wrist, I actually have nerve damage in my right hand from a dog bite. And so the nerves in there are all really shot and really weird. And so the ends of my dice that are on that part of my wrist just sent shooting pain through my whole hand. It hurt. So like this one wasn't too bad. My Witcher tattoo wasn't too bad because I don't have the same nerve damage on that wrist. But this one, I never, ever, I don't want to ever get this tattoo touched up. Because I'm so afraid that it's just going to hurt so bad.
That's really funny because you can see pretty much my tendons and carpal right here. I'm contemplating having her do all my fill around
though. Oh.
Because it
hurts
so bad when she was doing this one.
My sympathies to your wrist, man.
I could hear it hit every now and then my actual tunnel, and so I'm really contemplating that on both my hands, just being like, hey, right here where it's like the closest it gets, let's just not do that anymore.
It's kind of ironic that it's my d20 that has the nat 1 on it that is the one that caused me the most pain to get. Just the whole time she was doing that one, I was just sitting there like, she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. It's just not great.
It's just not quite as fun as I was hoping it would be.
She's like, how you doing? And I was like, it's not fun.
I think the only time I've really had to like kick, like tap out of a tattoo being like, I'm fucking done right now. Like, we're not playing around anymore. I'm done. Was my potion bottle.
Yeah.
She hit it with the liner the first time. She colored it. Or no, then the second time we came back and she started getting ready to color it and then was like, I'd like to re-crispin up these lines. And she hit me with the 18 liner. And I think after she finished that, she got her basics of colors like in the potion bottle, like where it's at now.
Yeah.
And that was it. I was like, you're done filling in that spot. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, then we're done. I'm going to go have a cigarette now.
Yeah. I had to on this one, we started with the D20 that's a nat 1 because I knew that it was going to be the one that hurt the most. And so I was like, listen, can we start from the bottom and work our way up on this one? Oh. Like, can we do that? Because this is going to be the part that sucks the most for me and the rest of it is going to be easy.
See, I envy your small amount of thickness compared to me because of the fact that I remember when I got this one, I was still relatively in my thicker phase. Like where I was about the same height. I've been the same height for like years.
Yeah.
Maybe an inch shorter, but I still had like, I was still weighing 180 or so. 180, 160.
Yeah.
Not the 140, 120 I nowadays weigh on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I miss having the pad. Because, like, I could feel up here when he was hitting more or less my tunnel again,
yeah.
But way up here, I could feel it in my elbow. All of it, though, now. I don't get an option to be like, oh, well, it'll be less shitty up here. Nope. It's just your skin and bones.
It's just my pain tolerance, though, because the lower parts of my arms always hurt more for everything. My hands are really sensitive. My wrists are really sensitive just because I have a lot of issues.
Let's try to trade when we do tattoos.
Like, all right.
Let's just, I'll give you my hands and wrists and you won't have any problems with your arms. And then when I go to do these, you just give me your
But for the most part, like the rest of my body, I have a pretty high pain tolerance for stuff.
All right.
And doing the Witcher one, because I got the Witcher one done first, it was the same way when she did it. She started up at the top on this one and worked her way like down. She did the swords first and then did the wreath afterwards.
All right, yeah.
And it was the bottom of my arm that hurt the most on that one. And so I was like, this is going to be the same way.
Yeah.
So can we do it backwards? Because I want to end this tattoo with being like, yeah, this is dope. This is so much fun. Instead of ending it like, ah!
Yeah.
the whole time.
When she got off the pad and onto the toe prints.
Yeah.
I literally like, she's doing the pad and I'm like, oh, yep, uh-huh, mm-hmm, and I'm like, let me know when you go to a toe, and I can feel her pick it up and, like, go back, and I'm like, oh, you're on a toe, aren't you? And she's like, yeah, I'm on the toes now, and I was like, cool, and picked up my phone.
Yep.
Was like, oh, that part doesn't suck nearly as much as the bit where you were literally on my toe, like, oh, I can feel
tunnel
under it. Ugh, I hate it.
So, prepping for my surgery.
Yeah.
Going in for my surgery. I had to get a bunch of blood work done because you've got to do a bunch of blood work before surgery. They have to make sure everything is good and that you're not dying, you know.
Don't die on the... Please don't die on our table.
And I went in... Tattoo talk reminded me. I got the lab tech, like, right at the end of the day, like, right when everybody was about to go home. And so I'm pretty sure that the lab tech that I got was just kind of, like, done with the day. He was not in a very good mood. Like, still polite, but, like, you could
but
just...
But one of those ones where you're like, I know you're not frustrated with me.
Yeah, like,
you're
I work customer service as well. I understand this energy. And I was wearing my That's Dungeon Master to You shirt.
Yeah.
And I wasn't wearing my sweater because I knew I had to get blood work done. And so I just wasn't wearing a sweater because veins. And he's like drawing my blood. And he goes, oh, do you play D&D? But like really deadpan, like, oh, you play D&D? And I was like, yeah, I got my Dungeon Master shirt on. He's like, yeah, I figured. I could tell.
I would have looked him square in the face and be like, what's D&D?
What's that? But it was just like, he was just like, yeah, that's why I asked. Like, it was just the, like, he's like, yeah, dummy. You're, of course, that's why I asked. Like,
you're the one who's being weird here, man, not her. And yeah, I got my gear on. Yeah, of course I do.
I was just like, okay. And we, like, there was, like, no small talk. Like, that was the most awkward, like, lab blood draw that I've ever done. Because, like, that was the end of the conversation. I was just like, yep, I sure do. And he's like, cool. And then just didn't say anything else.
I'd have just looked at him and been like, if you've got that much going, it's like when people ask me, like, you ever play D&D? And I'm like, especially if I'm wearing shorts and my potion bottle's out, and like, I'm like, you spend 10 seconds looking at me and you go, oh, this kid plays D&D or Pathfinder, one of the two.
Right. Oh, man. It was just so funny to me, just the interaction, because he was just like, yeah.
God,
I noticed. Like, just
so weird. That's so weird.
I was like, then why did you ask?
Yeah, like, that's That's really weird.
But you
don't. No, man, I wear a GM shirt and I have no. That's why it said I
no,
I'm
into,
told him, like,
I'm
no.
In, I'm into BDSM. That's why there's dice on my shirt.
I just know you quite well, and I wouldn't have been able to hold a straight face had you done that around me. Feel like, oh no, man, I'm in super into BDSM.
What?
Oh man, I now want to get a Dungeons Master shirt just for that. Just for that.
I mean, you do have DM on your wrist, so
that
like,
is true.
If somebody's like, "Oh, are you a dungeon master?" you can be like,
"Yeah,
yeah."
Just not in the way you think.
Oh no! Oh, this is a family podcast.
You ruined this. I'm excited for my other hand, but we got onto D&D.
We did get
the dungeon master.
We did.
That does bring me to my chess piece, though.
Oh yeah, tell me about your chess piece. I'm so excited to hear about it.
We're doing Snowflake.
Yes!
We're going to try to
Oh,
find...
that's right. I remember the artwork that you were showing me.
We
oh.
found out which one we're going to do.
Nice.
I made her fix the one that she made a wyvern by accident. I was like, you forgot the legs. She's like, whatever, I can fix that in. It was great. She put little stick legs in first to be a smartass.
I love that. Like Trogdor legs.
Yeah, straight up just like chicken legs. Like, I was like, you forgot... She's a dragon, not a wyvern. You forgot the legs in this one. And she literally went... And I was like, I love you. You're wonderful.
That's my favorite thing.
But we're going to try to do that. We're going to try to get Philip like falling maybe in the background. Like a really, like not even a detailed piece
yeah,
of Philip, just like a shadow.
A silhouette of Philip
yeah,
falling.
Just because of the angle I picked for it.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like she's almost either like very stereotypical dragon takeoff, if any of you are big dragon fans and watch like really how they move in a lot of animations and why. Mm-hmm. Certain animations are better than others because of the yeah. like their time that they take. That stereotypical like leap from the ground up with that swoop before, like that question mark hook right before you take off
yeah.
straight. It's got kind of that, so she is kind of backwards for a second, and it looks like she could very easily be catching Philip or fucking with Philip too. Like
I like it.
Oh hey, look, toss Philip into the air. Have fun. I'll be right back.
Bye bye, Philip. I'll catch you before you hit the ground.
Yeah. And I can see that being a thing that both of those characters would have an absolute blast doing.
I love that so much. I love Snowflake and Philip so very much. And
too.
I never even got to play in a campaign with them, but I've just heard so many stories.
You've gotten to meet them.
I know. I got to meet them, but that's not the same as playing in a campaign with them.
That's
it's
fair.
Not the same when a DM just drops an old character into a game and you're like, oh, you're like level 80.
They were only 14, but yeah.
When you're level 2, it feels like 80.
You guys weren't 2. You guys were like 5 or so. It was one of the first bosses you had to fight. No, it was one of the second bosses you had to fight. It was after the Quasit. I don't remember her name anymore. Oh, it's Trilla. Trilla's her name.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. I've named my other Quasit that. I don't remember her name
That's because
anymore.
We don't refer to her by her name. She is just that Quasit word that is... not appropriate for a podcast.
But I'm the GM. I'm supposed to remember her name. I don't.
That's fair.
That's what she is.
I'm sure you
now.
Have it in your notes somewhere.
It's in the book.
There you go.
That's the only place I have to go. I have to keep going back to find it.
Well, I know that we were at least level 3 or 4, but I don't think we had hit 5 yet because we were on level 5 when we went on hiatus.
Okay, then yeah, you guys might have been 4 then.
Yeah. It's been a minute.
I also, that was also a really good time for you guys to use your like, okay guys, we have one get out of jail free card. There are like 3 bosses in this room.
Dude, so for those of you listening who don't know, that is, we bribed our DM, which
yes,
was Drew.
I'm bribable.
And we got a boon. It's called Snowflake's Boon. And it's this little crystal dragon of Snowflake, which is one of Drew's companion pets for his character Philip from... days of yore.
She is my friend. We don't use the pet word with
oh,
Snowflake.
Okay.
She's not a pet.
I'm just
She's
saying.
Too smart for that. Like, yeah. Just knowing where wyverns go, that was a thing that, like, Philip distinguished right off the bat. Like,
yeah.
I think Grandma called her my pet for the first
Ooh.
Time. And I was like, she's not a pet. And she's like, why? And I'm like, because here in 10 years, she'll be 3 times as smart as you are.
And so basically what that was is we had this little crystal dragon and we had the ability to throw the dragon. And when it shattered, it would summon Snowflake and Philip as, I think we have two because we used the smaller of the two and we've been saving the big one for later.
Yeah, because I didn't intend to give the big one out, but you gave me a really dope Secret Santa present. So I felt the absolute need to give you guys another cool one.
But it would, so there's two different levels. One, she's an adolescent dragon and one, she's an adult dragon.
One was adult and the other is ancient.
Oh, okay. One of the two. One is smaller, one is larger.
That's why there are a few zones. Mind you, I am a smart GM. There are a few zones where this just won't work.
But
no using it for the BPEG.
Yeah.
You got to fight that on your own. But every other boss fight more or less leading up to that.
And so we walked into this room because we messed up.
A couple times.
And there were several boss fights that we were supposed to do that we missed. And so there were four bosses, I think.
There were three bosses in that room and then like two or three underlings.
Okay. Pretty high powered underlings though. Like yeah, almost like, boss level underlings.
If we're talking like MMORPG, they're your gray elites versus your gold elites.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, they're slightly harder.
Like the generals.
But yeah, but they're not quite the elite enemies.
And so we walked in and there's like five enemies in this room and we're level three or four at this point and we know this is a fight we don't win.
Yeah, there's What's-Her-Face's brother. I don't remember the other boss that was in there because you guys killed him so quick he didn't even get his dialogue off.
And then the closet lady.
And then the closet.
And then some underlings. And so we were like, dragon, 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 dragon. All right. And so we just threw it like a hand grenade and then shut the door behind us. And so this giant dragon and Philip, who is a unit of a half giant.
A level 14 Ranger Goliath with under the Slayer category.
Yeah.
So he's got Slayer, which gives him that extra D8.
Yep.
He had just hit level 14, so he got Volley.
Yeah.
Which that's what does the real damage there. Being able to be like, okay, I pick this one square, and anything that's within 5 feet of that one square, I'm also going to hit right now.
And so we just slammed the door and locked them in there with an adult dragon and a level...
Who was in a very cramped room.
And a level 14. I'm pretty sure the force damage alone of just dropping a dragon on top of some people killed a few of them.
Her initial ice blast did a good number between that and Philip's, like, volley at the same time.
Yeah.
It was just a thing I'd already talked with Corey about. Snowflake was just getting to the point, because we did it like a year time gap or so.
Yeah.
We were discussing the fact that Snowflake was just getting to the point where she'd really start developing her breath weapon. Like,
nice.
More than just this little, like,
yeah.
But an actual, like, oh, I can do a D6 or so with it.
Yeah.
And so we had been, I'd already started talking with him about what's her range on that, what's her this on that, and then we had already started working on tandem attacks.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it.
It was my GM's way of, like, apologizing to me for taking away my original archetype because he let me go an entire level without using it.
Oh,
I'd meant to go Beastmaster.
Okay.
And I talked with him and been like, hey, I want a frog, but I'd like to just, like, make it an icy frog. It doesn't have to be literally anything different. I just want it to be cool with living in the ice, like, where I'm from. And he was like, yeah, not a problem, not a problem. I was like, all right, cool. And so I started session one kind of expecting him to be like, oh, here's this weird ass frog.
Yeah.
We'll slowly work our way into it being your companion over the next couple of levels because 1 through 3 is stupid easy to burn through.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, you know. Then we hit level 3 and I was like, all right, I'll take Beastmaster expecting, oh, you know, maybe next session he'll give us 10 minutes in town real quick. I'll happen to see one. We'll have a small RP and we can move on and I can get my pet. Nope. A month later, we hit level, or 2 weeks later, we hit level 4 and I'm like, pet, 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 pet.
Where's pet, my frog?
Pet. I want pet.
I would like my fro shape, please.
And then eventually I was like, hey, to make this easier on you, is it cool if I just switch over to the other archetype in the player's handbook? At least start getting some bonuses because I'm not doing anything right now and I could at least be outputting an extra D8 of damage per shot.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, I'm so sorry. So giving me Snowflake was kind of his like...
An apology.
Like 6 levels later. I think we were just about to hit level 10 or so.
Nice.
And we came up these stairs to the Oracle in... I don't remember where she's actually at anymore. Like, she's in the north. But it's the giant's, like, Oracle for the entire giant
okay.
populace.
Cool,
it's,
cool,
like,
cool.
Their Oracle. And we ended up there, and there were a bunch of barbarians on the step, and then we slaughtered them because we had been making our way through those guys already. So it was like, oh, bad guys, kill them all.
Is this Storm King's Thunder?
Yeah.
I know exactly. My group killed the baby dragon, and I was real sad about it.
Nope, that baby dragon came home with me. But yeah, so I picked up the bag with the dragon in it, right? And I flicked it thinking, Philip right off the bat thought it was like a person, a halfling, a something, like that entity in here.
Yeah.
So I like flicked the bottom of the bag thinking that that might be, you know, bag over the head, assume their head's on the bottom. So I flicked it, trying to like just stun it for a second. And GM was like, I can make a small roll. Made a small roll. And he was like, yeah, good enough. You feel that it's kind of stunned for a second. I'm like, cool. Reach in like you're pulling a cat out of a bag. Grab it by the nap and just rip it out.
And it was just a dragon.
And it's just this baby white dragon. And as a half giant who hates giants with every ounce of him, he's literally with this group to gain life debts from them to go kill giants.
I love it.
Yeah. And so pulls it out and goes, oh, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And goddamn, are you cute about it too?
Oh,
and
God.
So I like started kind of oogling and googling her. And then I think it was George actually was like, hey, what'd you find over there, buddy? And that was the moment my Philip's full, this is mine now. Like, this is mine.
It's my dragon. It's not our dragon. It's my dragon.
Yeah, just instantly snap. And I reached over, grabbed Hank, who is Hank the Tank. He's our half-orc barbarian of the bear variety. So
love that.
Just really, truly the tank of a dude. And I set him in front of me by the nape of his neck, and everybody I ever tell this story to looks at me and is like, you touched a barbarian by the back of the neck.
Hey man, some barbarians.
No, this one owed me a life debt. And I was cashing in as far as I was concerned.
Nice.
I grabbed him and was like, anybody touches Snowflake, we kill them all. And all of my party was like, whoa, 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 whoa. What did you find?
I found a baby dragon.
And I finally turn and I have her in one arm and my, at this point, cloud giant axe in the other. And I'm like, any of you move towards her, Hank and I will kill all of you. No hesitations. Do you hear me, Hank? And he's like, well, this sucks to be you guys, but I owe him my life right now. So, yep.
Yep.
And they're like, no. What did you find? And I finally show them and they're like, melt. All of them.
Everybody's like, my God. Dude, it was so hard for me to play that campaign because my party was like very anti-dragon.
Why? You're fighting giant. This is a giant killing campaign.
We had had a few run-ins with some dragons that did not go well.
Cloth was great. He was a wonderful host.
Yeah.
You guys should be nicer to your older dragons.
It was just the characterization of the party. And I was playing, that was my very first 5e game that I ever played. So that was my high elf.
Yeah, you run into several dragons in that. And I just...
That was my high elf ranger that I was playing. And she didn't have a problem with dragons, but she was also just very unconcerned with everything. So like... The party deciding to kill dragons was not a big deal for her.
Yeah.
But for me, I was like, guys, it's a baby dragon! Guys, there's a baby dragon!
Oh, yeah. We almost got into one fight, but I think it was Hank and Philip rolling intimidation. Like, I think Corey gave Hank a bonus for intimidation.
Yeah.
So I was like, you go ahead and make the roll, your intimidation's better.
But
he gave him a bonus for the fact that both of us, like he and I, were both like bucking up to this. I think it was a young dragon too, like not even a young adult, like just a young dragon.
Yeah.
And he and I were both bucking up and being like, you can hang out, but you have to behave. We do have another dragon on board. And if you decide to like mess with it,
don't mess with my baby.
We essentially finally came up and was just like, this is technically a dragon slayer.
Yeah.
You were in another Dragon Slayer.
Okay.
And they're like, and kind of like getting ready to see if they have to fight. And we're like, you're cool as long as you be cool.
Right.
You step out of line, though. This is another Dragon's Lair.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And we didn't have to fight that other one that you find in the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't end up fighting that one because he rolled intimidation. And then we had a very civil conversation about being like, hey, this doesn't belong to you.
Our party was at least, like, we did have some pretty negative run-ins with dragons. They were at least smart enough to be like, we can't defeat a full-grown dragon right now, so we have to be diplomatic, but we don't like dragons. Like, that was kind of the gist of it. So when we found a baby dragon, they were like, white dragons are the worst. We're not letting this live. Like, it's not going to reach adulthood.
See, and that's what I'm really curious about. What happens, though, when you take... I mean, it's like, to me, even dragons, yes, they're much smarter. Don't get me wrong in that. But this does... But it's like, when people have lions...
Yeah.
Or tigers. As I get that these are really exotic pets, but, like, I hate to say this line. This really makes me upset. Katie made me watch some Tiger King.
Ugh.
There is the dude who isn't part of the show.
Yeah.
He's like a drug cartel dude who's no longer like running drugs. But if you watch hit like when they're really rolling through his place and letting you like really look at it, his lions look happy.
Yeah.
Like they look like giant kittens.
Yeah.
You know, like when he rolls into his tiger's pen, he walks in with like just walks inside of it.
And I mean, the thing is with big cats in captivity, especially that have been owned since they were kittens, the main reason people get killed by their pet big cats is not like aggression. It's they are several thousand pounds of predator.
Yeah.
And sometimes if they play with you, you will die.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, he had this little, like, rope. Like, you've seen it in all sorts of other zoos where they've got, like, the fire hose ball, essentially.
Yeah.
But he, like, has that and, like, tosses it to the side. And when it comes up, he puts his hand out being like, hey, you know that you can't do that.
Yeah.
And it stops and, like, drops it for him. And he, like, tosses it off for him again. That was my mentality with Snowflake.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I know white ones tend to be the worst. They tend to go absolutely insane. I'm not going to be around for that, or I'll be able to take my ring off and not be around for that if I don't want to.
Right.
No. But at the same time, what happens when I, you know, bronze dragons and these other ones that tend to be more chill, will take a polymorph and go live amongst humans. Why can't I teach?
We had a bronze dragon. Oh, gosh. I don't remember what his name is, but the DM that I played at their table for Storm King's Thunder, I have played in several of her games since,
nice.
And he is a reoccurring character in her campaigns, and he's just this mischievous little jerk of a bronze dragon who just, like, shows up. And him and I had some very big contention in Storm King's Thunder because my character was working for the Zhentarim, and he hates the Zhentarim.
Yes.
And, like, so we butted heads a lot.
That whole caravan's dead.
Yeah.
No, we didn't tell anybody about anything.
Nice.
We literally took our opportunity, blew up the alcohol wagon, and left.
That's amazing. I loved that campaign because I actually started at a different table because I was playing with the Adventure League people.
Yeah.
And so I started at a different table. And then about two or three sessions in... My DM had the DM that I ended up playing at their table had a few people leave their table, just like life came up and they could no longer play. So they didn't have enough people. And so they were like, hey, we have eight people at our table and they only have like three. Would you be willing to jump over to their table and play at their table? And I was like, yeah, for sure. No worries. I got this. And so like I had been playing because Adventures League all plays the same campaign.
Yeah.
And so I had already been playing in this campaign, but then I just joined a new party and it was really funny. And I'm glad that I was in the party I was in before.
Yeah.
Because there's that scene in the beginning when you find that like little goblin village.
We did not start Storm King's Thunder.
Oh,
we started.
You transitioned.
Yeah, we were doing Horde of the Dragon Queen, which was terrible because we went rules as written.
Yeah, and at the time, Horde of the Dragon Queen was kind of a broken.
Before the revamp, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We survived.
Good job.
Oh, it was primarily due to the fact that Hank and Philip could run like 40 feet.
Yeah.
Instead of the like average 30. So we just got to the point we started picking up our smaller people and being like, you can run fast, I can run fast, let's just run. Like, we just need to leave.
So in the initial opening part of Storm King's Thunder, one of the first quests that you get is to go clear out this like little goblin village because they're causing havoc as D&D goblins are wont to do. And we got there, we killed the goblins, and then there was a group of goblin children in the camp, and our party almost got to PvP because we had one guy that was like, no, we are not killing children.
Yes.
Absolutely not. And then the other guy was like, we were hired to kill the goblins, so we are going to kill them. And they were like actively about to get in a fight. And my character, specifically as a ranger, had goblins as a favorite enemy. She hated goblins. And so I used my bursting that hail of arrows thing.
Yeah.
While they were arguing, she just shot it into the middle of the goblin children and killed all of them.
Yeah.
One shot, just, and they all just turned and looked at me horrified. And I was like, there.
They're goblins.
Well, I looked at them and I was like, there, the situation's been resolved. Let's leave.
Yeah. This isn't 2E Pathfinder where 90%, you know, you've got a good chunk of goblins out there that are still good people.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a place to take goblin children.
Yeah.
To be like, hey, we can actually take these to this town where good goblins who have pledged their allegiance to, you know.
But it turns out that the table that I joined after that had two players who were, like, just cinnamon rolls. And they had actually adopted the goblin children. And I was like, oh man, I'm so glad that I wasn't at this table because my character hates goblins. Like, the only good goblin is a dead goblin.
Yeah,
like, goblin slayer goblin.
Yeah, that's why as soon as you were like, baby goblins, I was like, so you killed them, right?
Yes, absolutely she did.
Speaking of, you've played Goblin Slayer, don't let me forget. Or you've watched Goblin Slayer, don't let me forget. Goblin Slayer.
And I talked to them about it afterwards because by then they had already like left their goblin children at like, with somebody to watch them.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't travel with the party, obviously. And we had an out-of-game discussion about it, and I was like, I am so glad that I was not there, because we would have fought.
Yeah, like, I'm so glad I wasn't there. Just, I'd have nuked them there, too.
I would have killed them, and then you guys would have fought with me.
Goblin Slayer.
Yeah.
Have you seen downstairs the new Konosuba RPG?
No.
Okay, first of all, there's Konosuba RPG downstairs. Go check it out. It's over in our light novel section.
I'm so
not
excited.
Our RPG section, because it is almost light novel-esque, and we just wanted it kind of in both places.
Yeah.
They should be releasing Goblin Slayer, the RPG.
The RPG?
Yeah, and it's not like most RPGs. It's actually more like a JRPG meets tabletop RPG, which we saw in Free RPG Day.
Yeah.
Last year, or this year. Which was it? Last year.
I think it was last year.
That they had that JRPG, like, blank JRPG booklet, essentially.
Yeah.
It looks like they might be taking that system and starting to actually go grab animes.
Oh my gosh, that's really exciting.
In. Yeah, because the Konosuba one looks fun and silly.
For those of you listening who maybe haven't watched or read Goblin Slayer.
Oh god, please don't.
Do total content warning on that game / TV show /
manga.
It is super grimdark.
It's very heavy. It's very triggering for the first few episodes.
It is super good, but the goblins are absolutely evil.
Yeah.
100% evil.
But it's actually one of my favorite stories right now, not because of the content, but because of how they tell this content.
Yeah.
Because it's very messed up content. But the fact that they slap you in the face with it, like, first two episodes really hard, and then they almost never show it again.
Yeah.
Because they just don't need to. They hit you so hard in the... It's a lot like the Ender's Game. I didn't beat him this time. I beat him for the rest of the times.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't slap you this one time to get your attention. I slapped you hard enough you're never gonna forget, so that when I go raise that hand, you're like, oh.
Oh, that's right. I love that show. And the like stupid little fan fiction writer in my brain
really wants to go write something, don't you?
I really want to do a universe merge where Nox, my goblin cleric, goes into the world of Goblin Slayer and just starts killing goblins. Because Nox would totally be against goblins acting like that.
And you know what? I think Goblin Slayer wouldn't mess with your character.
No,
he's smart in the fact that, like, couple down and be like,
yeah, it
come
would
up
depend
to you and
on,
be like, what do you want? Oh, shit.
It would depend on the first meeting.
Yeah.
It would depend on how the first meeting went, because Nox believes that goblins can be good. And Nox is very much if goblins want to not be killed by other creatures, goblins need to
behave.
Behave. They need to build their own cities, their own merchants, their own... Nox, in lore after the game ends,
yeah.
Nox goes on to build a goblin city underground.
There you go.
With traders and merchants, and makes a whole thing, a system of trading above ground and stuff. And he runs a city,
yeah,
of good goblins.
But that's the thing, is that... you and Goblin Slayer might not get along then, because he's very much the only good goblin other than maybe Nox, because yeah. He might at least look at Nox and be like,
But that's the thing, though. If Nox went into the world of Goblin Slayer with the goblins that exist in that world, would kill every single one of them.
Yeah.
Because Nox's whole thing is...
be a good goblin or be a dead goblin.
Nox kills monsters.
Yeah.
And the way they behave
is very monstrous.
Are monsters.
Yeah. That would be a really fun act. Like, that'd be a really fun
right.
clashing of, like, meetup of people. That'd be really fun, actually.
I know. Every time I watch it, I'm like, oh, Nox would totally be on your side.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's the cool thing about Goblin Slayer. So we keep saying Goblin Slayer. That's the character's name.
His name is Goblin Slayer.
They don't tell you what his, like, real name is. This is the name that people gave him, and he just accepts that. And at this point, it's kind of might as well be his name.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what he does.
Yeah. That's all he does. I love that show so much for the whole, like, I love it for the, like, background RPG feeling that they do for it with the rolling of the dice and all of that kind of stuff. And I love that there is, like, the heroes in it that are just in the background tangentially, fighting the demon lord, saving the day, like the major campaign kind of stuff. And then you just have this dude who just kills goblins. That's all he does.
My favorite is when they come up and are like, how are you a silver rank?
Yeah.
And he's like, I've killed that many goblins. What?
Let's put it this way. Like, they're like, how does this guy that all he does is hunt goblins, how is he a silver rank? And they're like, he hunts a lot of goblins.
Well, and they finally kind of get to the point where the first episode, they do a good job of showing you what happens when a bronze team goes down to fight goblins.
A porcelain team.
It can get really bad. It can go really, really poorly for them.
Really terribly.
And even bronze teams have problems with it. Whereas Goblin Slayer goes into goblin caves alone.
Yeah, and just kills all of them.
And kills everything that's in there and has returned every single time. And that's why they like make him the silver, is they're like, no, we get that he's not killing the most potent thing, but he kills dozens of them alone.
And it seems like that's their kind of metric too for leveling up, is just how many quests you complete.
Yeah.
And so like, yeah, he's completing quote low level unquote quests, but he just grinds it
so many
daily
of them.
Just constantly
like that whole anime is just great, and I'm so stoked for the anime or the RPG to come out, because I knew you were one of the few people I'm gonna be able to play that with.
Yeah, because you know me, I actually love goblins. Yeah. I'm a big goblin fan. I mean, we played regular Pathfinder, and I just was like, no, these are my goblin children now. I'm adopting them and turning them to the side of maybe not good, but...
there were good goblins back in... 1E for Pathfinder.
Yeah,
that just was a lot more rare.
Well, by and large, like, Pathfinder goblins were much more like Goblin Slayer goblins.
Yeah.
Which I get. No, not quite as like, oh my god, terrible. But like, but close. But like, also, if you tell me that we're going into a setting where this is just how goblins behave in this setting.
Yeah.
Cool. That's just how goblins behave in this setting.
I can tell you right now, there's, other than if you try to bring Nox in, there is no good goblin in here.
These are
terrible, terrible monsters. And
if whoever runs that game lets me bring Nox in, I will absolutely play Nox in that game.
Done. I intend to run a small one. Whether that means that it's like another once a month, kind of like our Witcher is, but just... on a different week, being like, okay, we're going to play once a month on this.
I would happily drop Nox into the world of Goblin Slayer just to throw everybody off.
I think that'd be a lot of fun.
With his little mask, because he, like, wears a hood and a mask, so, like, you don't ever see his face until he uses his mask as a shield.
Yeah.
And so he could just totally... He can speak Dwarvish, too, so he could just totally... pass himself off as like a dwarf that just doesn't speak well.
Skinny dwarf.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. But yeah, I was super stoked to tell you because I knew you were going to be one of the few people. Because if I run that, I'm going to run a lot like I run The Witcher.
Yeah.
It's going to be dark. It's going to be not fun.
As it needs to be.
At certain times. It's,
Goblin Slayer is grimdark.
Yeah. I like these grimdark, gritty, kind of terrible settings, but it's a lot of how I personally
There's a difference between using the shock factor of that kind of brutality as purely shock factor and having it be something that is like in the world.
Yeah.
Like you get what I mean? Because I've known a lot of GMs and stuff who use that kind of brutality just to get a reaction out of people. Like they're like, oh yes, it's a grim, dark, terrible setting. And all they do is like SA people.
Yeah.
Instead of like, it's just a terrible world. And this is something that also happens in it.
Yeah, it tends to happen. You might come across it. You might not. That depends on what missions you take.
Exactly.
There might be some of this in it. But that's also something, though, this is why I do Session Zero stuff.
Yeah.
It's very much so. It's because, especially with like The Witcher, where I'm like, okay, I want to play dark.
Yeah.
So there might be times you guys are uncomfortable. Give me a heads up. And if I need to tone it down a bit, that's fine.
Yeah.
But other than that, I want to play gross and dark. It's always one of those things that I go, I'm a GM. I've gone to the darkest places. I don't always get to play in those darkest places. I've had to go to get into the mindset of some of these characters. Well, and I'd like to play there sometimes.
And again, it comes down to setting too. Because if we're playing a standard 5e game and it's like a 5e adventure path that's pre-created.
Yeah.
Wizards doesn't do grimdark very well.
No.
So no. If somebody's like, hey, we're going to be playing Icewind Dell, I go into that expecting a standard WotC.
Yeah, exactly.
Experience. Even if you're like, it's a bit dark, it's a bit gritty, there's still a standard WotC experience that I expect to have.
Yeah, they're not going to push certain boundaries because they're trying to be very inclusive and grab everybody.
But then if you have a DM that's like, hey guys, up front, this is the kind of campaign that I'm going to run.
Yeah, I'm going to run one that's really messed up.
Then I expect that kind of campaign.
Exactly.
And it's all about, like you said, Session Zero, about setting expectations for the people that are playing your game.
It's such a quick thing of just being like, hey, guys, like...
Because I know we had that conversation with the Pathfinder game.
Yeah.
Where you were like, guys, this chapter that's coming up
is going to be heavy.
Is going to be really heavy.
Like, and I will play it to the full extent because I've read all of it. All this terrible awful is already in here at this point. So I'll play it that way. If you guys need me to bump it down, let a brother know.
Which I super appreciate because there are some times where I can't handle that stuff mentally.
Yeah.
Where my brain is just like, I don't know. Let's not.
Well, and with our group, it's kind of very the Goblin Slayer thing.
Yeah.
Where I can slap around really quick to start with, and by the time I can see somebody's eyes kind of going up of like, dude, you need to pull back. I'm already pulling back, and I don't have to do it again, because I've already hit you hard enough with it that you're like, ugh. I'm like, oh, you see another skeleton in the corner.
Oh man.
Like, just, oh. See? We're done. We don't even have to describe how this person died. Just as a heads up, unless it feels like you should for the quest, don't talk to the dead in my games. Just don't.
Oh, no.
It's not a good idea.
Oh, no. Now I really want to speak with dead spell.
Depending on where you're at, it is not a good idea.
No, I believe you.
Like, that's just one of the things I'm like, hey, if you're ever in one of my games and you're, like, it's not like, oh, this guy feels like he was an NPC that we needed to talk to, but he's dead. Well, maybe we can cast, you know, speak with dead. That's cool. I'm not going to be there. But you're, like, walking down the road and there's, like, a dude on the side of the road who's dead. Don't speak with dead, that guy. I'm going to create the most messed up thing I can come up with off the top of my head.
I'm pretty sure that none of my Icewind Dell players actually listen to the podcast. We are getting into the part of the story where I am actively getting ready. I have five different NPCs that these guys really like who are all on timers.
Oh, yes, I love killing NPCs. There's nothing better than watching your party cry.
I already killed Sarah's brother.
Oh.
They found a pirate ship that her brother was on, and they found him.
Oh.
I almost made Leah and Sarah cry. Because he wrote a note home.
Oh.
While he was dying.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Icewind Dale is supposed to be a pretty heavy game.
Yeah.
It's isolationist horror.
Yeah.
That's the theme. But
it's
a party of comedians. I have the most ridiculous party.
Yeah.
I have...
So just the four of them?
Beth is there too.
Who am I forgetting?
So it's really, Carrie.
Carrie. B.
Hal.
Hal! I didn't realize Hal was playing in that one. Yeah.
Hal is like the most serious character out of all of
That's
them.
That's also why I didn't think of him, I don't think, as being like comedians.
I have an Alendron who is a British tourist to Icewind Dale.
I know who that is too. That's wonderful.
She pulls a tarot card every morning to determine what state of an Alendron she is.
That's wonderful.
And she is haughty and thinks that she is smarter and better than all these provincial mortal realm people. Have a barbarian who is really good at survival, but just clashes with the tourist constantly. They have a constant ongoing banter in the game that just derails everything all the time. I have a druid who is a tiny little halfling druid who is, as all druids should be, obsessed with all animals all the time, every moment of every day, and constantly wants to make friends with every single deadly creature that I put on their path.
But it's only a war, guys. Come on. It's cute.
And then I have a tiefling, a Pepto-Bismol pink tiefling warlock.
Pepto-Bismol.
She said bright pink, but the dice she has is Pepto-Bismol pink. So it is Pepto-Pink. Who tries to be serious, but fails.
Look. Just looking at that tiefling would make me throw up. It's nothing against the fact that they're pink. It's the fact that I've had to take so much Pepto that the thought of like an entire entity that color walking around makes my stomach queasy.
Yeah.
You were a walking bottle of Pepto and that makes me uncomfortable.
So what I'm saying is I have never laughed so much in a D&D campaign as I have in this Icewind Dale game. And I have been trying so hard to convey this feeling of just dread and dark, and I can't do it. I've kind of abandoned it at this point. I'm like, okay, we're running a silly game at this point. However, things are going to start getting serious because people are going to start dying.
You know what? It's one of the best ways to serious up your game. Oh, look, this NPC you really love, dead.
Dead.
This other NPC you really love? Dead.
Also dead.
You know why? Because the bad guys killed them.
Because the bad guys killed them while you guys were dicking around over in this city.
That's actually a thing you guys might come into if we ever get back onto Pathfinder.
Yeah.
Just, you've got a couple people who are alive that are gonna make some problems later on.
Yep. Swear to God, if Sheriff Pinlock dies, I'm gonna be so mad because he is so funny. He's so funny. He's so funny,
though. He's the sheriff, though.
I know.
Like, he's the first one who's supposed to react to things, so...
That's
it
fair.
It doesn't bode well for him!
That's fair. I just...
Can't you guys just bring me some good news?
There is an NPC in my Icewind Dale game that I'm not going to be allowed to kill, because if I kill him, the entire table will quit the game.
We'll revolt.
He's supposed to just be a random shopkeeper. Like, not even, he doesn't even sell good things. He sells low quality swords. Like, it specifically says in the book that his wares are substandard. The problem was, is they met him and I decided to try a character accent and I gave him like a New York Brooklyn accent.
Oh yeah, people love that for some reason.
And they spent 2 hours talking with this dude because they thought it was so funny. Him and his sister. And now every time they go back to that city, they're like, we need to go talk to that blacksmith again. I'm like, please don't.
God, don't.
Because every time I do that accent, it makes me do it for every other character, because once I get in there, I can't stop.
Yeah.
It's one of those accents that I can't transition back out of.
Call it the cross guard or the crossbar on my tongue of how to get the accents I want. Yeah, sometimes it just gets stuck. Well, congratulations. Everyone's hemlock today.
I know. I'm like, congratulations. Everybody just, you are in upstate New York at this point.
Yep.
That's where you are. You are in the Bronx. I'm so sorry. Everybody sounds like a sleazy used car salesman.
I miss playing Sheriff Hemlock, though.
Ugh.
I kind of want to play... I think that might be my next character.
Sheriff Hemlock?
Straight up just Sheriff Hemlock.
Oh my god. You should do like the early days of Sheriff Hemlock.
Yeah. Like I'd make him a young adventurer again. But like go through, read out his class, see what they'd picked. Pretty much built starting from the beginning up towards where he is now. Which I think he's only level 3 or 4.
So yeah, but like
eventually have to get to the point where I pass him.
Well, but... yeah, but like he could retire and then lose some of his skills once he retires. Cause like, you know, if you don't keep up on stuff.
I'd just up his level in the game.
That's
like
fair.
In our path in Rise of the Rune Lord. I just like canonly he's just this much higher now. Like, okay. Oh, I got to level 10 with him. He's just level 10 now.
So what I'm hearing is I need to run a campaign for you to run Hemlock in so that I can get him to, like, level 20 so that he's just unkillable.
You guys come back to Pathfinder and you're like, hey, Hemlock, we're having a problem with it. And he's like, yeah, that's why I gave it to you guys. It's not worth my time.
I don't want to do it. I get paid to be here all the time. Why would I want to leave?
Yeah.
I already did my adventuring.
If it comes into the town, I'll take care of it. But other than that, like, this is your problem.
Someone comes and attacks the town and Hemlock just single-handedly takes care of it.
Yeah. A whole bandit raiders come up. Do you boys know where you are? We're here to attack your village. Not for much longer, you're not. Can't I just get some good news? That's all he ever wants is just some good news.
And instead, he just gets Nimue.
You never bring him any good news either. Ever. Like, once you guys have been like, oh, we did this. And he's like, oh, well, that's nice. But we found this.
Right. No, like, hey, we figured that thing out. But we also dropped that house off a cliff.
Oh, cool. Hopefully that doesn't have any... repercussions.
Right? When they were like, oh yeah, there's something in that house that we need to look into, and we were like, ooh, so here's the thing. We dropped that house off the edge of a cliff.
Did you guys actually, like, I don't remember if you guys actually beat the bad thing in there.
We beat the lich dude. Or the whatever that guy was in the basement.
Foxglove?
Yeah. But not the main... There is something else absolutely in that house that we did not find before we threw it off the cliff. And we know that because of what they said after the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we realized. We had a realization that we...
That's really... curious, though, because it is attached to the house. And if the house isn't there anymore, is it still technically...
I mean, the house...
That portion of the wall's fine.
The house is still technically... I don't know how intact it is after falling into the sea, but I mean, we didn't break the house apart. We just cut the cliff in half and let it fall into the ocean.
Yeah, that's still like a 200-foot drop of house into the ocean.
I guess it just depends on how well built it was.
That's why I was like, you know what? Depending on... No, because you guys even made sure to carve under the house
yeah,
to the lowest
level. Yeah, we sent the whole basement and everything. We were like, TikTok, take care of this.
Yeah, it depends a lot on, like, how intact a couple of sections are. God. Yeah, you know what? I'm just going with zombie sharks now. This is great.
That whole campaign is just a dumpster fire. I love our party so much. We are such bad adventurers.
That guy keeps throwing shit at my house. I like that I just meant stuff, but everybody, including Sam, was like, no, that's something Burrell would do.
That's totally something Burrell would do.
No, I didn't mean... All right. I just meant, like, he keeps throwing things, guys. Not, like,
we were like
actual feces.
We were like, nope.
Nope, throwing real feces.
Drew, this has been a lot of fun.
This has been wonderful. Being able to just sit out and BS about our terrible, terrible decisions as GMs and players.
Did you hear that WotC and Hasbro are buying up D&D Beyond?
That doesn't surprise me at all. I'm surprised that hasn't happened
yet. It doesn't surprise me either, but I'm like...
I'm legitimately kind of shocked that hasn't been a thing already.
Yeah, I'm just worried about what that's going to do for D&D Beyond.
probably a subscription service at some point, which would be nice. For someone like me who hasn't been buying things on D&D Beyond, but it's kind of found themselves now at a point where my main GM and I have don't live together anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't have a lot of my books anymore. Being able to pay $10 a month.
That's fair.
To like have access to all of D&D Beyond, essentially, would be really nice for one of the few times I play 5e and then want to fuck off.
See, if that was the case, I'd be like, yeah. Like if it was like, hey, $11 a month, you get access to all of all of the properties for D&D Beyond. I'd be like, dope, I'll do that. But I'm really worried that they're going to be like, hey, it's $10.99 a month and you get access to the three core books.
I don't think they'll do
that. And then you have to like pay.
I don't think they'll do that only because a lot of D&D Beyond's already open.
Yeah.
Like for free. So.
Yeah, but if they're buying it up, they can change that.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing though. If you suddenly are like, okay, well, it's $10 a month and you get these three books, you know how many people are going to abort? Like, are we going to not abort?
Abandoned ship?
Yes, thank you.
I mean, same thing. Is
that, all right.
Yeah.
Correct terminology. All right. It's like, that doesn't feel like the right word, but all right.
Yeah.
But you know how many people are going to hop off and like, yeah, no, I'm not dealing this then. Like, the people who have already bought their books, yeah, they might stick around, but they're just going to keep buying books and not that subscription, which that subscription's what's eventually going to make you real money.
Fair.
So
and that's another
way to draw more people into your hobby. If you're like, hey, it's $10, but we give you everything.
I am hoping that maybe they'll start rolling out books with like a D&D Beyond code to get a discount for stuff.
Either or free.
Or free.
You're giving me an electronic version of the book I already have.
Yeah.
I bought this book. I should be able to get an electronic copy for free. It's like when you buy an LP these days.
Yeah.
You get I have two or three that gave me a CD and a key code.
Or like every single Kickstarter RPG book that you can possibly buy now also comes with a free PDF.
Because it costs them literally nothing to give you a PDF.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, I don't get why if they do put a code in it, it shouldn't be for a discount.
That's fair.
You're not giving me something new.
I'm just imagining Hasbro and WotC greed.
Yeah, you know what? I think that we should revolt, and we as a D&D community should just try to buy D&D from them and put Chris Perkins in charge.
Hey, I like this plan.
He's already in charge for the most part of like the D&D aspect and all that, but that's why I'm like, let's just buy it and give it to him. Be like, here, you deal with D&D now. Why? Because you've been doing a really good job over the last few years.
All right. Well,
we'll slide our cabinet shut, even though we opened it for nothing.
I mean, we took out all of our notes, I guess.
Yeah, fair enough.
Of campaigns past.
Put your notes away. Put your little personalized storybooks away. We'll catch you guys next time.
You've been listening to The Game Cabinet at the AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store to browse the selections or inquire about special orders. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/ADV Underground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.